Freedom Litany, each speaker represents one of 13 different authors. And copies of this litany with the attribution, who said it and what the source is, are available in the foyer after the service. And if they're all taken, you can email me and I'll send you a copy of it.
I asked a sexual assault coordinator working for the Immigrant Resource Center of Maine what percentage of women who came here from Africa as refugees had been sexually assaulted. She was quiet, then replied, "I would say all."
He spent time in the U.S. as a laborer when Mexicans were first brought legally by the trainload to take the agricultural jobs vacated by the interned Japanese and by the farmers and farmhands who'd gone away to fight and die in World War II. As a picker in Texas in 1954, he was making 50 cents an hour, working 12 to 14 hours a day, when he began to notice that his daily checks were short by about 2 hours' pay. He confronted the bosses, who said it was just the way things were done around here, and if he kept quiet about it, they would give him an extra $5 a week on the sly. He agreed, though the sum of the bribe amount roughly, to what he was owed in the first place.
He didn't come here alone from Guatemala at age 13. He had his 17-year-old sister to lead him, and their 6-year-old brother. Yet they made it all the way to Marietta, Georgia, forever leaving the only world they've ever known, forever leaving loved ones, mother and father. Now 19, he says, "I miss my mom."
I don't remember the specific moment when my parents told us we were going to the United States. I didn't think we were going to grow up here, that this would become home. I remember my little brother leaving his bike behind and telling our cousins to watch his bike for when he returned. When we arrived, my mom started cleaning houses. My dad was working in a Chinese restaurant, and my mom eventually started working in a restaurant as well. We would just go home and someone would watch over us and a bunch of other kids, and we would go to bed. Our parents got home after we fell asleep, so we barely saw them. There was no one to help us with homework because our parents were working hard to get us on our feet and find a place for us to live.
I was 7 years old when we migrated here, so I didn't necessarily make the decision to give up anything or sacrifice anything. It's my parents. My parents lost the ability to see their family members who were struggling in Mexico. My dad couldn't see his dad before he passed away because of cancer. The American dream is embodied in my parents. My parents' sacrifice, that's the American dream. It's actually the people that come to this country and make it what it is and have done so for years and years. We are what makes America great. Now I honor my parents' sacrifice, their American dream, as a teacher, which allows me to serve my community and my country.
I think it's helpful to remind white ethnics that they too came here in boats, that they too lived in slums, that they too had yellow fever, and that they too were stigmatized as incorrigible, and that they and that everything that was said about them in those days is now being said about Salvadorans, Dominicans, African Americans, Mexicans, Vietnamese, and Cambodians.
Convenient amnesia about one's origins is an all-American trait. What some of us also forget is that at nearly every stage of our country's history, the people who were already established as American citizens found convenient targets to designate as unable to assimilate. The indigenous people, conquered Mexicans, slaves, or the newest immigrants who were usually classified as non-white.
The immigrants of the 19th century came, for the most part, because they were fleeing hard circumstances, such as immigrants from Central America do today. But they also came because our borders were practically open until 1882, when the Chinese Exclusion Act was shamefully passed. Otherwise, the American dream was available to anyone who could pay a 50-cent tax. To fourth or fifth generation Americans who now say their ancestors came here legally, unlike today's undocumented workers, that's largely because the getting in was easy. Today, the average wait time for an immigrant visa is about 6 years and can stretch past a decade, time desperate people usually don't have.
Here's what it is to be American. Here's what it means to be American. To have come from elsewhere with very little. To be mindful amid every trapping of prosperity, how little we once had and how little we were. To protect and nurture those newly arrived, wherever from, as if they were our own immigrant ancestors, especially scared, equally humble, equally determined. That's the real America that today's immigrant bashers pretend to venerate. You don't have to favor sanctuary cities or the abolition of ICE to be on the right side of this debate. But you do have to recognize that the newest immigrants have as much claim to the country and its lawful freedoms as any other American.
Recent polls show that 82% of Canadians think immigration has a positive impact on the economy, and that two-thirds see multiculturalism as one of Canada's key positive features. They rank it higher than hockey. Hockey?
If undocumented immigrants in Georgia were to receive legal status, they could contribute an additional $100 million in state and local taxes annually, which could cover the entire cost of Georgia's 2019 budget line item to repair and replace bridges across the state.
In Georgia alone, if DACA recipients were to lose their status, the state would lose an estimated $23.6 million in state and local taxes. To put this in perspective, $24 million in the state coffers could pay for 310 new school buses or the salaries of 704 new public school teachers in Georgia.
Rabbi Sheila Peltz Weinberg teaches something quite beautiful about the three mitzvot: love of neighbor, love of stranger, love of God, or the tenets of Judaism. By learning how to love ourselves, we learn how to love our neighbor. By learning how to love our neighbor, we learn how to love the stranger. And by learning how to love the stranger, we learn how to love God. This is the best summary of Judaism I know. Rachel Timoner.
Our goals affect our perceptions. What we call knowing was in fact an awareness limited to a particular perspective on reality. It's self-determined by a specific group responsible for formulating this perspective.
Take and eat, all of you. This is my body and this is my blood. We are food and drink for one another. We are one another's body and blood. We are one another's salvation.